So due to the sensitive nature of this content, we've had to present and disguise your assumed identities. I'm Sterling Archer.
I am Professor Freaksworth. Or at least that's the identity we'll be assuming. We don't actually believe we are these people.
All right, you want to go over the agenda, Professor?
Yeah, so the agenda is we'll go over IPv6 is awesome.
What the hell? Did you do this?
Not again.
All right.
This keeps happening.
There are some powerful forces here.
Okay, all right. Fix. All right, first we're going to go over what makes this theory plausible. You know, we have to have a good foundation of, you know, this conspiracy. We're going to go over the lies, the technical truth. We had a part, but somebody in our organization sold us out. So we had to redact part of it. It was kind of shocking anyway. We'll go over some of our research results we can cover, the full truth behind IPv6, the resistance and how you can help, and then we'll do questions and probably more likely flee. So what makes this theory plausible? The need for IPv6 is agreed on by way too many people. Even Congress agrees on the need for IPv6, which makes it completely suspicious in our minds. People in power generally are out to get you. And we have a shadowy enemy with a hard-to-prove existence, which is key for any conspiracy theory. We've also conducted extensive international research. Put in long, long hours traveling around.
So another thing that we've done is research to provide some evidence that this is personally what I've been working on. I've collected a lot of data about subliminal messaging that's been hidden.
Wait. You mean subliminal messaging?
They're basically the same thing.
No, they're not. Subdermal means below the skin.
Maybe. We shouldn't be arguing about semantics up here.
Semantics, they're completely different. God damn it, your literacy is screwed us again.
Maybe we should skip the next few slides then.
Moving on. We've got something else that's key for any good conspiracy theory. Blurry pictures of people. In this case, the Queen of England.
For the record, I don't think this is the Queen of England. I think it could be anyone.
I assure you,
it
is.
He's a little crazy. The lies. There are a lot of lies. IPv4 addresses Austin is ridiculous. We're going to prove that's completely false. The idea that NAT will not work as a solution has been proposed by NIST. Again, a lie. A lot of people think IPv5 never existed. We're going to reveal the truth about that. And finally, the biggest lie is that IPv6 is here to help us.
So the myth of IPv4 address exhaustion. There's only 4.3 billion addresses. You know, some firms are buying up these address spaces to hoard them. We'll discuss that in great detail, as well as the artificial scarcity they're creating. And I made a little pie chart here of our estimated IPv4 usage. What's actually in use and what we suspect of being hoarded.
Most of it.
We've also run into the argument that NAT won't work, that NAT isn't good enough. But, you know, it wasn't designed for production systems and you know, the internet and how much traffic there is. Well, you know, it wasn't for designed to, you know, post pictures of your cat either, but you're still going to do that. There's no true peer-to-peer communications. There's no dynamic configuration. So what? The real reasons, NAT is private. Keeps people, you know, keeps activities private. You know, they're less able to track you across different networks. You know, IPv5 never existed. You know, these claims are completely false. It provided a secure, private, anonymous communication system. You know, it was awesome. Of course, all the known designers are missing, and researchers we had looking into reproducing this protocol have been injured severely.
Tragically.
And we also have, you know, IPv6 is here to help with privacy, you know, privacy addresses. That IPv4 devices would use DHCP from moving from network to network. That keeps, you know, you get a new address every time. You know, that seems ideal. Why wouldn't you want that? IPv6 devices have an interface identifier, you know, based on the MAC address of your device. You know, the alleged solution is the privacy extensions that are in, for stateless addresses and automatic configuration IPv6. Of course, you know, this is only if a bunch of other devices have IPv6 on that network. If you have very small networks, they're going to track you across them, and that's exactly what they want. The real concerns, you know, these small networks allow that. administrators want to track you in case you do something bad, like give a talk on how they're trying to take over the world. And now we're going to go on to the technical truth. So, you know, IPv4 has 4+ billion addresses. That should be plenty. You know, the address blocks are handed out inefficiently. You know, we should let the free markets decide. Hoarders should be punished. You know, and we have a sliding scale for this. You know, and not every punishment is appropriate. So, there are 4,294,967,296 addresses out there. Efficient distribution would result in plenty of space. Millions and millions of addresses could be freed up that are technically exhausted. And we're going to go over how that is. They're address, you know, they're given out inefficiently. So there's Class A, Class B, Class C. You know, three options is not market efficient.
And what's even more ridiculous is that there are 26 letters in the alphabet. Why the IETF could not use all 26 is ridiculous. We should just
move it. When did you put that in there? That's
No, it's there are 26 letters in the alphabet, right?
All right. Move on. All right, so I made up this nice bar graph and our line chart, which is, you know, helps add legitimacy to our claims here of what we believe the hoarding scale looks like. And at this rate, even if we added IPv6, companies would continue to hoard until it plateaued again, and then we'd be stuck in the same boat.
Yeah, the idea of peak IP is ridiculous as peak oil. It's just a big scam.
Microsoft spent $7.5 million on IPv4 addresses. You know, and it's been all over the press. IPv4 addresses will be hoarded for a black market.
So one of the things we promised is that hoarders would be named today, and we will. One of the biggest that really makes us angry is Canada. Aaron has assigned over 80 million IP addresses to Canada. But there's only less than 35 million people in the whole country. And, you know, to be honest, most of them don't even have running water, let alone a computer. So what in the world do we need that many IP addresses for? Here's another list. Now, at the very top, you see the U.S. Department of Defense with over 280 million IP addresses. Now, that's just the ones we know about. This is from public records, from the regional registrars. AT&T has 102 million. Now, granted, they're a big ISP and everything, but still, 100 million IP addresses? Others, Hewlett-Packard has 38 million, the Bluth Company has 28 million, Ford Motor has 26 million, this is ridiculous. General Electric, it's a division of the Shinehart-Wood Company, they have 17 million. Now, one of the things that we found very suspicious in our research was that the DoD has 280 million IP addresses. It's very close to the number of people in the United States.
These are all true facts.
So, we started wondering why. And the most logical conclusion we could come to is they're being used to track people, that each person in the U.S., or at least most people, have an implant with a unique IEP address. And as the population grows, the Department of Defense is going to need more IP addresses. So we enlisted one of the professor's graduate students and took some imaging of their skulls. And at first it looked pretty normal, but if you notice the lower right quadrant, there's a bit of a shadow. And we inspected it. We managed to extract a device from the patient that was a small little chip that had been embedded into their head. Now, unfortunately, the person died, and we weren't able to figure out what exactly it was for. We think that it probably released some poison or something, and that's why the person died.
We're pretty positive we figured it out and can remove it safely. So if you'd like to be checked, I have a van out in the parking lot. I provide that service plus many other medical procedures.
I strongly recommend that you do not go out there. He has no qualifications at all to do this. That van is basically rolling probable cause. I would not get even with 100 yards of that. So we also did an IP address audit. We wanted to see, you know, where things were distributed. In addition to the hoarders, we wanted to see where everything was allocated. If you add up all of the IP addresses from the registrars, Aaron, Ripe, et cetera, you come up with about 3.5 billion IP addresses. Now, almost 600 million are for various reserve networks, defined in RFC 5735, you know, like, private address space, local host, so on. But if you add these up, you're missing over 200 million IP addresses. Where are they? Now, some people in the IP for Truth community think that that's part of the conspiracy, they're being hoarded. Now, to be honest, I have to blame this on Ripe, because I've seen a lot of network penetration test reports from Ripe. For IP address space, it's clearly in Europe, but they know nothing about. So I think that if the Europeans got their act together and started recording IP addresses correctly, we wouldn't have that problem. So, how are we going to stop people from hoarding? Public shaming isn't enough. Some people think that, you know, you just throw somebody up in stocks and they're going to be embarrassed and they're going to stop doing it. Being pelted with tomatoes was not going to stop this problem. We need to do something more severe. Now, depending on how many IP addresses you're hoarding, if it's a Class C, I say douse them in honey and feathers. It's embarrassing, but it washes off easily. It's no big problem. Class B, you're talking about 65,000 IP addresses. There, got to go with pitch or with super glue or something. You're going to have to scrub really hard to get it off. But for the Class A's, yeah, it's over 16 million IP addresses. Got to do boiling tar and feathers. Drive the message home.
However,
another option is torch and pitchfork mobs. We were talking just the other day about how they're very unfairly portrayed in movies as being irrational and of no use. But really, they serve a very useful purpose in preventing unethical behavior and research. They have a very rich historical tradition that we should not be abandoning. If 1,000 people with torches and pitchforks showed up in front of Hewlett-Packard, you better believe they're going to relinquish those 38 million IP addresses.
I think it's worth a shot. All right, well, here we have part 4, which has been redacted. So I just replaced this slide with a nice picture everyone can enjoy. Moving on, the full truth. Who's not to blame? Highlighted ancient text we'll go over. Numerological analysis. We'll discuss the secret meetings, where they've been meeting, what they've been talking about. Intercepted communiques, the actors, and of course, the nefarious cabal.
So the first thing that we want to make clear is the Irish are not to blame for this conspiracy. There's a fringe element of the IP for Truth movement that blames the Irish, and that's not fair. To be blunt, those people are racist.
We're not racist.
They think that it's some sort of scheme to get revenge for the potato famines. It's not the truth. The caricatures of the so-called Simian Irish that were popular in the 19th century became very inappropriate long ago. It's a shame that some people in the IP for Truth movement are trying to resurrect them. And really, we shouldn't be judged on the fringe. Every movement, every truth has some sort of fringe element that is crazy. We're not crazy. Please don't judge us by the racists. So there's a number of prophecies throughout history that have foretold the damage that IPv6 would do to our world and how IPv4 is really good. We're going to talk about the Tatara tablets, which are some of the earliest forms of human writing from 5300 BC. We're going to go over Mayan text from 250 AD, which is the very end of their civilization. Probably not a coincidence. There's a Mongolian prophecy from the 12th century AD. And then finally, we're going to talk about a Portuguese prophecy. That's a little complicated. You'll see in a little bit. So this is a Tartar tablet. I can go look it up on the internet, some of the earliest form of human writing that's known. And it's been analyzed by archaeologists for a long time. It's a little hard to see in this. It's 7,000 years old. So this is a black and white version that's a little easier to read. Now, archaeologists have been able to analyze this compared to other cultures in the same area and whatnot. It's from what is now Turkey. In the lower left-hand quadrant, they've identified these symbols, these pictographs, as corresponding to a time of plenty where the crops were good and, hunting was good and whatnot. The lower right-hand corner is a time of death where there was fires and starvation. To be honest, I don't understand how that works, but I'll trust the archaeologists. One thing they've always been puzzled about, though, is that the top on the left, associated with the good times, was 4 hash marks. And on the right, associated with the bad times, is 6 hash marks. Now, this is not... this is not conclusive evidence. I'll be the first to admit that. It could mean a lot of things, but it kind of makes you stop and wonder. It was this our doom foretold 7,000 years ago. Something that's a little bit more obvious comes from the Mayans, much more recently, a little over 2,000 years ago. Almost 2,000 years ago, at the end of their civilization. This is a photograph of it. The translation is, in the time when great talking spreads across the land, the false prophets of 6 will try to lead the people astray. They will make great promises to seduce the followers of the 4. But beware, the 6 is a demon that will bring only great darkness. When it arises, the demon will desolate the land, and only the false prophets will prosper. I think it's pretty obvious that...
It does not sound promising.
No, not in the least bit. So, There's also a Mongolian prophecy. This is from 1134 AD. Now, there's a lot of this is fragmented. As you can see, there's a photograph of one of the I think it's parchment or something along those lines that's damaged. So there's pieces missing, but you can still get a pretty good picture of it. Some of the highlights are it correctly identifies the invention of the internet and the World Wide Web. Now, the Mongolian 17-year calendar has animals associated with it, and they correctly line up with the actual dates when the internet was invented and whatnot. It refers to the fourth and the sixth languages. Now, I mean, obviously, 800 years ago, there wasn't, or 900 years ago, they didn't have a word protocol, so you have to realize that they're struggling, these seers were struggling with their limited language to describe modern technology. So it's a little long, I'm not going to be able to go over all of it, but for example, the beginning of it is in the year of the fox, which matches up to the year that the year the internet was invented was the year of the fox, the army, DARPA presumably, of the great nation of the West, something maybe builds, relays across the world, and the great nation will become greater. And the merchants of the world will see the relays, and something profit, so the great nation will share the relays with all the merchants. Now, obviously, the DARPA eventually started sharing the internet with merchants. It goes on to talk about how corrupted men of the world will want to destroy the signals, the evil men invent a sixth language for the signal relays. But they were ignored because the army and the merchants realized that the language was good. It goes on. So this is the last.
Sorry, what's that?
And with great fear, the evil men will see that the people are gaining wisdom. So they will redouble their efforts to destroy, the evil men will spread a great lie across something web, something fourth language is simple and only for the stupid. And the army and the merchants will be fooled by the evil men and will begin to speak the sixth language. The evil men will rejoice for their domination of the world and the destruction of something is nigh. And we don't know what that something is. It could be the internet. It could be the world. I think we can agree that it's something we shouldn't find out. So we have the Portuguese prophecy. And this is a little complicated because we can't actually show it to you. Now, we're risking our lives to bring this to you. I mean, we obviously were in disguise, but there's still a lot of risk associated with it. But there's some things that are worse than death. The Portuguese prophecy, the text in it is in the possession of the Church of Practicology, which is that cult that was started by Stan Lee.
You don't want to offend him. It's the alien king that lives inside Stan Lee's head.
They have a copyright on it. We can't show it. It's very unfortunate. But we have seen it, and we've been able to perform a lot of analysis of it, provide some clues about decoding the RFCs of IPv6. And most importantly, it reveals how cabal members that are controlling IPv6 can be identified. So we also want to talk a little about TimeCube. Because TimeCube, while it's not directly related to IPv6, there is a lot of truth that Gene Ray has put on his website. So, for example, if you're not familiar with TimeCube, this is from their website this morning. TimeCube math is absolute proof. You're retarded. You can't comprehend fact that cube 4 simultaneous 24-hour days. It goes on. TimeCube.com. So, also, there's some more excerpts. Full rotated square will create 16 corners, 96 hours, 4 simultaneous 24-hour day circles within the single imaginary cube Earth rotation. This is the important part. 4 rotations in a 24-hour day are good. Obviously, IPv4. 6 rotations is educated, stupid, evil. IPv6. 1 corner day equals evil. 4 corners equals 4 corner days. Evil one day, God claims, corrupts all academia. 96 hour cubic day debunks one day as witchcraft. Clearly, Gene Ray is a modern day seer. I mean,
math does not lie.
No, yeah, exactly. Math does not lie.
So we did analysis of 6 as well. Friend 6 was a Nazi official in charge of directing police operations in Germany. They successfully invaded the United Kingdom. Coffins are buried 6 feet underground. Coincidence? Maybe. MI6, also referred to by the nickname 6, the secret intelligence gathering organization. 6 in Roman numerals is VI, so we think there may be some anti-INX connections as well to this. We also did some further studies. Area 51, 5 plus 1 equals 6. The Mayan prophecies again. The world's supposed to end on 1221. 1 plus 2 plus 2 plus 1, 6. 666.
Obviously.
360, and again, another number in nature. Divided by 6 equals 60. Divided by 6 equals 10. Divided by 2 equals 5.
That makes no sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. 6 plus 6. 12 signs of the satanic zodiac. The prisoner was number 6. Are you ready to pick up again?
I think I can.
Okay.
Okay, as a perfect number, 6 is related to the mezzanine prime 3, since 2 times 2 to the, 2 squared minus 1 equals 6. The next perfect number is 28.
It speaks for itself. this is you again.
Okay, why are all public versions of IP composite numbers? Obviously, not a hatred of even numbers, since there wasn't, a 2 wasn't used either. But we have IPv4 to IPv6. What's wrong with prime numbers?
I have a theory that because prime numbers are used for encryption, they think that it's secure or something. I don't know. That's just a theory.
Makes me think.
So we mentioned RFC numerological analysis. Now, there's 5 primary RFCs associated with IP version 6. There's a lot of peripheral ones, but these are the core 5. So if you take the numbers of those RFCs and then look at the differences between the numbers, while they're incremented, you come up with 4. Now, clearly, 2635 is a little bit of an anomaly, and we had to think about this one for a long time, but if you drop the 2 off and reorder them, it makes a lot more sense. So, we're able to extrapolate this out into an equation. It's a little complicated, and from that equation, we're able to obtain the whole sequence. Now, this is just what we can put on the screen. There's obviously, it'll go on to, ad infinitum. Once you take these numbers and put them into, or extract the characters from RFC 1883, the original IPv6 specification, you come up with the text. When you parse it out a bit, some plans become clear. We will control all. And then a series of what are obviously longitude and latitude coordinates, and a year. We map these out, several number of cities. Now the weird one is the fourth one, because the 2002, there's just 6 numbers, 7 numbers, and we're not exactly sure why there's 7 numbers instead of longitude and latitude coordinates. There's some fringe people, well, it's your idea, Professor.
I'm a fringe person, yeah.
Yeah, he thinks that it's Stargate coordinates. I think that's crazy, but we do have some evidence in a minute here.
So what are these meanings? We gathered information from using mostly disposable teaching assistants. Prague, 1991. Initial meeting to push IPv6, then 10 years old. Determined fear must be used. What better place than Prague? I believe they're going to reopen the torture castles. In fact, we may still have some students there. We should go check. London, 1996. Second meeting to push IPv6, then 15 years old. Capital is needed to acquire resources and create an artificial scarcity. Misinformation campaign begins. The Queen joins the cabal. Boston, 1999. Discussion on learning from the Millennium Bug propaganda.
Just lies, nothing but lies.
What happened? Nothing. Fear tactics of people losing access to pets.com were short-lived. Secret meetings, unknown location, 2002. Key players of the cabal meet. Pictures smuggled out of location at great cost. Communications with grad student lost before location disclosed. Possible they just got drunk with friendly locals who were also great hosts. If anyone knows this location, please contact us.
It's critical.
Outside Vienna, 2004, emergency meeting. Researchers and unknown government agencies suspect foul play. Evidence of a resistance is discussed. Our lives are put in danger for the first time. Live blogging of subjects like friends, foul movements, are determined to detect.
What? Sorry. We're moving on. Miami? You want to talk about Miami?
Okay. I think I can. Progress meeting in Miami, 2010. Police actively providing security for the cabal. Our last gullible TA is discovered, and we really have no idea what happened to him. The actors. Who is behind this? We discussed the cabal, but it may be the nanobots. XKCT tried to warn us. Devices needed to address and communicate with a nanobot cloud consisting of more than 4 billion bots. Consumption of all Earth matter is now imminent if IPv6 goes ahead. They may be controlling the minds of the other players, including the cabal. If you go to the XKCD website, look at the cartoon, go to the forum, there's
all right, so this is not something that most people in the IP for Truth community believe. This is the professor's very impressionable. Every time he goes to XKCD, he just thinks it's the truth. This is really just garbage. So what do we know about the Cabal? We've been able to gather a fair amount of intelligence from analyzing the prophecies, from the agents that we snuck into their secret meetings. We know they wear funny hats. They're evil. They were originally composed of the Pentaveret.
The Vatican, the Queen, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, before he went tits up. So, who's in the Cabal? We know that Vint Cerf is. This is a very funny hat that he's wearing here.
He looks ridiculous.
He invented most of the internet. It sounds like a made-up name. It's, Vint Cerf. I mean, you might as well go by something like Ulysses Q. Albuquerque. I mean, it makes no sense. Where was he really born, though? We have tried to find his birth certificate. He will not tell us. He won't give it to us. Makes us very suspicious. Supposedly he was born in the United States, but with a name like that, I don't know. It's a mystery. Tim Berners-Lee, also wearing a funny hat and a weird robe. He invented the World Wide Web. He was made Knight Commander of the British Empire. There was a lot of suspicion at the time of the IP for Truth community that this was done to buy his silence, to make him happy. Perhaps he was disgruntled with the Cabal. Since then, he's fled from England. He now lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We have some evidence of the theory that we're going to be revealing in a little bit. Sub-Commander Marcos, also known as Mark Mueller. He was adopted in Brazil. His biological parents are unknown. We know he's of German ancestry, and there's some evidence that he may be a clone. And finally, the Supreme Commander of the Cabal. We don't know his name. He wears no hat, but he has larger lace cuffs, which presumably is significant of his rank. He's probably a vampire based on how he looks. And also, we think he might be Strom Thurmond's secret twin brother. So we've intercepted some communiques, as I said. This is from something I gathered from a honeypot operation down in Miami. This is originally an email from Sub-Commander Marcos to Queen Elizabeth. It says, Elizabeth, Berners-Lee is getting restless. This is from 2001. And unhappy with our strategy. He hasn't threatened to leave yet, but I'm afraid that he will. That will be next. He can be a valuable asset, so I'd rather not kill him. Perhaps if you give him some kind of honor, he'll at least keep his mouth shut. And then she replies, done. I'll make him a KBE. He'll love calling people calling him Sir Tim. Elizabeth Regina. They have a confidentiality note upon too, which is kind of weird. So also there's a lot of ties between the Cabal and the information security industry because, basically they're afraid that we're going to find out the truth, like the professor and I did. So they try to keep people in line. This is a email that was discovered, for one of many emails discovered, from the Cabal to the head of a large research organization in the information security industry. From the Supreme Commander says, Nick, you've been doing a great job in suppressing IPv6 research. You'll be richly rewarded. I'll be sending you some more agents soon. And then the guy replies, thank you, sir. There are some troublemakers that may need to be addressed. We'll dispose of the bodies as normal. We're hoping this isn't us, but it's one of the many reasons why we're protecting our identities today. So what else has the Cabal done? One thing that we know for sure because of interrogations of a captured agent, they killed Paul McCartney. This was leaked out by the Beatles in the cover to Abbey Road. I think everyone knows that. Paul's not wearing shoes there to show he was killed. But we're not really, we know that they killed him, but we're not sure why. One thing that's been tossed around that hasn't had a lot of evidence is that because there were four Beatles, they felt somehow that was a support of IPv4. They're kind of crazy. We don't really know why.
What other nefarious actions have they done? They rewarded Al Gore with inventing the internet. Then they punished Al Gore for not supporting IPv6 once he joined the resistance.
And now he's doomed to live out the rest of his days in a gefilte fish jar.
Other actions?
Wait. Sterling Archer. What the hell? That was told to you in confidence.
We have to get the truth out. They also killed this cat Schrodinger.
I'm also gathering a lot of evidence. The TSA, I think we know who controls the TSA, stole one of my socks on the way here. So what other initiatives is the Cabal undertaking? Well, this is something that has Cabal fingerprints all over it. This is an article from The Telegraph in 2007. Scientists develop remote-controlled pigeon. Why would they want to do this? Well, that's what the professor and I were wondering when we first saw this. And basically what we've decided is that the experiments on the birds are multi-purpose. One, this is tied to some brain monitoring, controlling efforts that we'll be discussing in more detail later. And it's also tied to advanced implementation of RC 1149. Now, obviously, there's some serious ethical considerations with experimenting on animals.
Like ignoring this. The serious ethical considerations, we have the obvious violation of international bird law. They're using a land-based bird, which, you know, is illegal, which we then decided to use a seabird, which is totally illegal.
Pigeons are legal tender in many countries. So the professor and I pondered what to do about this, and we came up with a solution.
Pigeons are very hard to catch.
This is some documentation from one of our early experiments. It was very promising. We trained a pelican to deal with a pigeon threat.
Things were starting to turn around for the resistance. Things were looking good.
We were very optimistic that this was going to be an end of the cabal's pigeon research. Unfortunately, one of our agents was involved, took a video at a cabal training facility and smuggled this out to us. This was just heartbreaking. This is one of the pelicans that was trained by the professor. So you can see, it's the orca, killer whale, eating it. And they just ripped it to pieces.
Pelican is a good friend of mine.
All that was left was just floating bits of chum by them, and they were done. And we don't know what to do. I mean, every time we seem to make an advance, they come up with something to stop us.
Other cabal initiatives, they're tied to MySpace. Well, they can't all be, winners.
That's good news, because it shows they can be defeated.
They funded research of the brain monitoring technology, implanted electrodes, fMRI, etc.
So what's in the future for the cabal? Well, monitoring all PV6 communications is pretty clear. I mean, if they control the protocol, they can monitor whatever they want. They can also implant thought monitoring chips into every human. That was one of the main purposes of the pigeon experiment. We have strong evidence that, unfortunately, we're not ready to reveal yet, that IP version 7, or version 8, depending on what they go with, it's not really clear
how... Depending on your prime number conspiracy.
Right, exactly. Prime composite, yeah. That it's going to support thought control chips, which is just horrifying. So, the question that we have next is, is this just the tip of the iceberg?
The conspiracy goes much deeper.
What else are they going to be doing? It's terrible.
We have CIA, NSA roundups, the need for anonymity, avoiding social networks, Face Plus, distributed cell structures. First, the CIA, NSA roundups. There's a suspicious absence of anti-IPv6 groups. Of all the protest groups out there, why not any anti-IPv6 ones? Why is it just us? Doesn't make any sense. They have not yet denied, internment camps for IPv6 resistance.
We haven't really asked them just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, we don't want to
politics
to
ourselves.
Seems needless. Okay. Would we dress like this if it wasn't required?
Yeah, our corporate overlords did not fit the bill. We had to buy these disguises ourselves because they're probably part of the conspiracy. Also, I took this hotel from my hotel room. There are black helicopters flying around Las Vegas. And I called down to the front desk and they insisted that it was just tourists, but I think that's a bunch of baloney. I mean, clearly they're monitoring me.
The need for anonymity. We're going to use a Guy Fawkes mask here, but that's sort of been ruined. IPv6 forces implementing this technology in no small part to track you. We've covered the privacy concerns, but additional steps need to be taken. Tor may be comprised of powerful NSA networks.
It will be, yeah.
Avoiding social networking. Voluntary tracking of social activities seems harmless enough, but tying social network profiles to IPv6 addresses, which are tracked from network to network, eventually no anonymity. Doesn't matter which Face Plus service you use. So avoid social networking.
Most of the groups and clubs you see on Facebook about opposing IPv6 are just traps. I mean, to be honest, only a moron would join something publicly.
We did not start that.
No, this is probably run by the cabal or some agency they control. Anyone that joins it's going to be monitored and eventually rounded up for an internment camp.
The most damning evidence, Face Plus didn't invite us to their speaker party. Clearly they're afraid of the truth. You can't explain that. Go ahead.
So one of the things that we suggest for you know, keeping the resistance strong is to use a distributed cell structure. It really gets a bad rap because of its use by other less honorable organizations. Make sure that the cell members aren't federal agents. That's really important. Or cabal agents, even more important. Don't trust anyone. Probably the safest cell structure is just a cell of one. Now, I did some research on distributed cell structures, and it's really kind of confusing. I really understand what these are supposed to be.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I know. I agree. So, like, I pulled these off of Wikipedia, and I don't understand how it works. But probably being in a distributed cell is the best way to avoid being killed.
So what, why did we do this? The truth must be told. The cabal must be stopped.
They're evil. Also, only animals wait in line for 2 hours for badges. All right, any questions? All right, we are leaving it. Oh, yeah, question, yes. Yeah, I opened the box. I did. I destroyed the state, the wave state. Anyone else?
That's a cabal cover up.
Yeah,
they were trying to throw us off.
You must be with the cabal. Sounds awfully suspicious. They are not fake.
We're telling the truth.
You're just trying to cast doubts in this.
Did you see the math we used?
Yeah. The numerological analysis. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this.
You can't make that up.
Yes. Well, the professor did that. Three...
That sounds like a cabal lie.
I agree. I have to say that's very unlikely to me. Anyone else? Yes.
That is also a violation of bird law.
Yeah, it is. It clearly, and it's evil too. Yes. Oh, damn, I didn't think that. Thank you.
Do you want to be a grad student?
Speaking the truth.
And those 6 letters in DEF CON.
Oh. I don't know. That is obviously a coincidence. Yes. So what's that? Not from us, but you'll be doing a good deed. The question was if you get a t-shirt for spotting the cabal. Just take them back in the alley and beat them. Yes. They should, but it's pretty clear that the cabal has completely infiltrated Congress. I mean, they act like a bunch of morons. That's the only explanation. Yes. Sorry, say that again? What? Gibberish, probably a brain controlled malfunction. Yes. Sorry, what's that?
You'd be surprised.
That's the professor's van. I don't drive a panel van because I don't need to do things in that. Yes. Sorry, what? No, there's enough of us here with their strength in numbers. They cannot kill us all.
Well, they could, but nothing.
We have to take the risk. It's worth it. We have to take the risk. Yes, you're the ugly one in the front.
Are you talking heads? Part of the cabal?
Yeah, again, that's gibberish. More brain plant malfunctions.
We believe there's a paperwork mistake.
Lies. A lot of lies. Yes. God damn, no! We should have had better security here. Anyone else? Get in! Anyone? Yeah, you can get them at any hardware store. Pitchforks? Torches are harder to find than pitchforks. But you look up on the internet, I'm sure there's a website that'll show you how to make torches. Anything else? No, that's just proof they're after us.
Yeah.
That's like a threat. That's like leaving a dead horse in somebody's bed.
Yeah, or a mannequin pet.
Yeah.
Pitchforks have four prongs. That's why they have a solution.
That is true. There are some three-pronged pitchforks, too. But, yeah, the fourth ones are clearly what we'd need for a torch and pitchfork mob.
Sounds like a crazy question to me. I don't think that was...
Well, nobody cares. Ask what you had to say. Yes. It's hard to say. This is a tactical black turtleneck. This is one of the extra dark ones. It was $700 and well worth it. I didn't invent the turtleneck and I don't claim that, but I was the first to recognize its tactical potential.
Wait a minute, Steve Jobs wears a black turtleneck. Is he in the resistance as well?
No. No. He's just a tool. Yes. Apple has a Class A network segment. They really do.
Why are you using an Apple?
It's not my choice. Okay, anyone else? All right, thank you very much. Be careful.